As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit WealthDaddySystem.com. That's www.WealthDaddySystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, I'm glad to be here and be given the opportunity to talk to you about the things that impact our world now and in the future. And there's so much going on in our country, and we really desperately need to get a handle on what it is that we need to do in order to have a positive impact on our society. And so we want to just talk today about the kinds of things that are going on that clearly display some of the violence and discrimination that is going on in our country and the way people are mistreated. How are you doing this evening, Cheryl?
I'm doing great. What about yourself?
I'm doing fine. And are you still sheltered down, or are you still getting a lot of rain?
We're just getting a lot of rain. All of the schools here were closed, and the colleges were closed today. So right here in just where I live at, there's flooding in different areas, and I think one of the schools yesterday had already started flooding. So the school and college was closed today.
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of people doing a lot of positive things across the country related to helping Houston and the people that are being saved by people who are going out independently of the government and trying to give assistance. So it kind of does your heart good to see that there are people, when people are in need, there are people who jump into action and don't concern themselves so much about themselves, but do the right thing.
Yeah, you're so right, because I got a text earlier from my daughter. Evidently, she's raising money to send out there, and she just asked me, you know, if I was in. So I just told her, yeah. So I guess she's getting together. I'm not sure if she's trying to do it for a family or to, you know, to give it to a certain group. I'm not sure how she's been sending out the text, and I got mine earlier. So that's going to be one of my ways of helping as far as contributing.
Yeah, we have to individually find a way to do something to minimize the impact, because when you see all that water in all those different neighborhoods, it just lets you know that that area has been inundated with water, and those people are going to have to deal with the aftermath for a very long period of time, and they definitely need all our assistance and our help.
Oh, yeah, because I know a couple of families that moved from Louisiana to Texas that was in Hurricane Katrina have now lost everything in Hurricane Harvey. It's devastating. And it's devastating to all of those,
It's so easy to see, too, you know, where the water has gone up so high and covered up cars and really just did, you know, some serious damage. And it's just unbelievable how wild water can just come from nowhere and go so high in a short period of time.
Oh, believe me, because now it hit Louisiana right there, Texas, Louisiana landfall, 4 a.m. this morning. So it's slowly moving this way, and we've had a lot of rain. And although it's going to be moving up, and New Orleans was shut down, everything was shut down yesterday in New Orleans. And they asked everybody to please, you know, not travel if they don't have to. Most businesses, government, everything was closed in New Orleans. And but really, the aftermath is going to be, it's going to be the water that's going to rise from all of the rivers and lakes and, you know, everything that's around it. So that's what we are preparing for. And just like I said, the school, the high school already started getting water. And 1 year ago, the high school had flooded. And just this summer, finished the last of everything. You know, from last year, because they couldn't actually start school on time. They had to go to the middle school at a different time than the middle school kids were going. And now here again, parts of the school is flooded again. And I'm not sure about the other schools, you know, that's flooded, but I know a friend of mine, she's already flooded out. And my son goes to college with her son and offered, you know, if he wanted to come over here, he was more than welcome to. So it's, like you said, everybody just have to come together at this time and do whatever we can for what, you know, whatever's going on, because just because we're dry right now does not mean anything.
You know, one of the things I can't understand, and Kathy is on the other line as well, you know, it talked about how it seems like something like 85% of the people in Houston did not have flood insurance. And I've always been real upset about how in the world can you separate the damage that was done by the hurricane and from the damage that was done by the flood. The hurricane created the flood, so therefore the flood is a part of what the damage was done by the hurricane. And so it's just unbelievable to me that insurance companies would try to figure out how not to be responsible for damage by suggesting, well, that damage happened by the flood and you're not insured by that. You know, I mean, it just seems to be ironic that insurance companies, who get off most of the time by not paying, you know, not giving us anything for our money. Soon as it's time to pay something, are trying to find ways not to be held responsible.
You know, that happened to a lot of people in Louisiana, and the insurance companies looked for FEMA, but FEMA only gave a cap amount of money per household, and I think it might have been like $10,000. The rest of it, you had to apply for an SBA loan. And a lot of people don't, you know, didn't get flood insurance because they were not in a flooded zone area. And with the hurricane, you know, there was no area that did not flood, really. So it is. It's ironic how, you know, they want to say that, you know, they won't pay any damages that's done, but they are looking for FEMA to pay. But $10,000, and I know that's what it was in for Hurricane Katrina, because I did a lot of, you know, worked a lot of the cases for people, meaning putting in their applications and checking back on their status and keeping up with it for them, people who couldn't get to the computers. So I knew that that was the cap of it. And everything else came from SBA loans. But SBA loans is loans that had to be paid back. So, I mean, you're paying your insurance all of these years, and then when something happens, you know, like this, then the insurance don't want to pay it. So, I mean, I haven't been able to figure that out, and has left so many people devastated.
Kathy, why is it corporate greed is so, I guess unacceptable is part of it, but how in the world can you distinguish damage from one source or the other? If you hit by a hurricane and the water came with the hurricane, you know, hurricanes don't come dry. They come with bad weather. So how is it that companies are trying to make people decipher what happened, what created, well, you know, what damage was versus the hurricane versus flooding? It just seems that it is unfair.
I mean, it's good afternoon, everybody. It's just like car insurance. You know, everybody don't have it, but once you get into an accident, if you do have it, then you're able to cash in on what was done to your car. I mean, it's a part of life. And I mean, even being in the United States, you know, we're hit with all kind of additional everything. And even where we live, you know, we're paying for rent, but we also have a separate policy for insurance just in case if something happens. I mean, you know, to our clothes or to our furniture or anything, you have to have it. I mean, if I'm living in a state and I know that there's always a bad rainstorm, I am going to have insurance. I mean, you know, you have what they say, you play now. I mean, you play now and what is it? How does it go? Something about you pay now and you play later. If you don't pay now, then you're not going to be able to pay later. And it's just an unfortunate thing. I mean, that's everywhere. I mean, these are just some of the things that you have to have. And flood insurance is a part of that particular state. So I believe that the people should have it. I don't know. I mean, that's just me.
Well, you know, I live on a lake. And I've never experienced my lake growing so big that my house would be impacted. But of course, I don't cover extra flood insurance. I've never, you know, I cover the insurance that is required by my homeowners, by my mortgage company. But I mean, just to try to separate those. At this time, you know, floods don't come by themselves. If you on dry land, Cheryl, normally floods just don't come because of heavy rain. You know, heavy rain normally comes with hurricanes, and very seldom do people just get so much rain that they flood out without the assistance of a hurricane. What are your thoughts? I mean, you're in an area that has been inundated before, and you know that during Katrina they did the same thing, kind of wanted to cover some people and not cover others.
Right. And now I'm going to tell you, you know, Louisiana is, and New Orleans is below sea level. So to me, everything there is would flood. But when you get an insurance and you zoned for certain areas and they say, well, no, you don't need flood insurance because you're not in a flood zone. But because of these acts of God, it's beyond your control. And just because the area don't usually flood, and flood, when they're talking about it, to me means, you know, rain and or a river close by where it overflows. But when you have something like a hurricane, you can't zone certain areas and say, well, this is not a flood zone and that's not a flood zone. So to me, it, you know, I look at it as two different things. When you're applying for, you know, with your homeowner's insurance or even renter's insurance. But they come up with some technicality where they got it covered that they can actually get out of it. And they don't pay. And they look at, you know, FEMA to take care of it. And that's where the heavy load comes in it with FEMA, because if the insurance companies would pay up, it wouldn't be, you know, so much where FEMA couldn't do it for a household. Now, I'm not sure if it's gone up, you know, per family or household from what it was. And because to me, you know, you can't replace everything in your house, or you can't even begin to repair, because you got to do sheetrock all the way up, because the insulation already would be then got, you know, wet. And some of the houses are flat. I mean, I know, like, my mama house, it went all the way up to her closet for Hurricane Katrina, to the arms of her clothes, and her house was off the ground. And everything in it was moved around from the water. The water just had everything, you know, nothing in the same position. The appliances and all. And then I know my mother-in-law, if you didn't know where she lived, you would not even know where her house was, because the whole house was not even there. Nothing was there. And then the city wants to buy back the land from you for a little bit of nothing. So they get you all kind of ways. I mean, they really do.
And this doesn't seem like the time that we need to be skimping on people. You know, people pay their taxes, and they do the right thing. They go to work every day, and they try to be good citizens. And this is this is not a good time whatsoever, where they need people to be trying to take advantage of them in their situation, especially when you, in terms of buying property, because everybody knows that that property values go up, and you're going, when they know that people are in a need to buy, the value is going to go up, which means they need more, not less, to replace what they had at the time. And so look like there should be some legislation that helps people during this time to make it illegal to try to take advantage of people in this situation. I know that there are all kinds of things that we've seen, and I'm going to ask you guys what you all saw. I saw a situation, you know, you're always trying to get a smile out of a bad situation. And I don't know if you all saw this, but a picture went viral where a dog was walking down the road with a big bag of dog food. And I'm not sure where he got it from, but he carried it to his master's house, and the master said that he looked at him as though, you know, hey, why don't you open this up so I can get some food? Did you all happen to see that picture?
I saw it. I did. I thought it was cute to bring a little light to the situation. I don't know how it all came about, but I thought it was real cute.
Yeah, it was. It just gives you an idea that, you know, no matter what the situation, you know, it's all about survival. And this dog had enough sense to recognize that this was some food, and he was going to take it back home and so that his master could help him eat. And, you know, it brought tears to my eyes looking at some of the African-Americans and all people of all colors who were out there wondering if they were going to get saved or not, and using Facebook as a means to bring attention to themselves. You know, a lot of times when we're going through all this, see all this viciousness on Facebook, this clearly is a time when Facebook came in handy for a lot of people, don't you think, Kathy?
Absolutely. This is one of those times where it is actually a good thing. And I think it's a good thing all the time. It's just every now and then, you know, somebody that's a little bit off comes on Facebook and tries to upset the family, because this is Facebook is actually a family. I mean, there are people on there that have located siblings that they haven't seen. I mean, you know, all kind of good stuff comes off of Facebook, and you do have so those things that happen where, you know, it's some things that are out of our control. But for the most part, it's a great app to have, and it's good for the world. I mean, it just depends on how the people use it. I saw yesterday this man, this African American man, looked like he was no more than 30 years old, and he was walking down the street. I mean, it was raining, and he was just thanking God. He was like, I just thank God that they got us out, him and his son. He said, me and my son. And the man said, but you lost everything. He said, yeah, I lost everything, but thank God I'm alive. So to me, that was heartfelt, because even in the midst of all of that, he still was able to thank God, you know, because he was alive. So that to me was something that I played over and over again, and just, you know, thank God along with him, because, you know, people see the bad part in it, but there is still some good part, and God is still showing himself each and every day through each and every thing that we see on there. When you see the people being rescued, you know, I saw today where they rescued this baby out of a car, a 2-year-old baby. I mean, and they just all got together, you know, it was an older black lady, it was like 3 white guys, I seen a Hispanic guy and a couple of other black people in there, but they were all going for one cause, which was to rescue those people in that car that was turned over. And nothing could stop them from doing it. They did it. So that right there, to me, is what it's all about. You know, we see and hear all this different stuff, but that is what it's all about, when you put down who you are and you come together for a greater cause.
And it's so interesting you said that, Kathy, because I also saw a situation where it was a female, black female. I think the other girl with her was a sister. And this older lady, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but whatever reason, she was going to drive across this flooded road. And she misjudged the road and how deep the water was. And nearly halfway across, the car started floating. And this black female, and normally, you know, black females don't swim. And this girl, even though she did it without really swimming, I really believe she could have swam if she had to. But she walked out there and to that water till it was nearly to her shoulders. And when she first got there to the lady's car, she was begging the lady to let the window down. And the lady was afraid to let the window down. She let it down, but she couldn't get out the window. And then she had to tell her, well, okay, well, you got to open the door. You got to help me. You got to help me. And so she finally got her to open the door. And thank God it was only one person, because if it had been more than one, I'm not sure she could have saved two people. But that black female, she was rescuing, wrapped herself around this black lady. And this black lady had to calm her down, taking her back the whole way, just taking her back out of that water. And then eventually she got to the place, okay, she said, you can stand up now. And she helped her get out. But what was so real about it was the lady's voice did not change until after she got that woman to safety. And she started having these spasm attacks. You could tell that she just didn't believe she did that. And then all of a sudden she said to the lady, why did you go out there? Why did you do that? You know, because she was just upset at the lady for putting herself in that danger. And so she was really upset at her. And the lady said, I didn't think it was that deep. But you could see that she did not start panicking until the whole situation was over. And I just found that to be so, like you say, just so elating that this woman knew she couldn't wait to call anybody. She couldn't wait to try to find anybody. She had to take it upon herself to put her life in jeopardy. And I have to tell you, I've been a strong swimmer most of my life. And I've lived on the lake most of my life, and I've gone to pools, and that water looked rough. So it would have been like you had no other choice, but that was the only option she had, and she did it. And so, Cheryl, we've seen a lot of people do things that were beyond their what they may have thought was their natural ability to help people. And, the numbers are still kind of low. I don't know what kind of numbers have you heard, Cheryl, because I've heard only about less than 20 people that died so far.
I really haven't heard the numbers, but I did get a chance to see that video that you were talking about. I saw it on Facebook, and you are so right. She never even thought, because if you notice, she threw her phone down on the ground and ran out there to that lady without even thinking about the danger she was putting her own self into. You know, and I even commented on it. I just said, I thank God for this lady who was an angel put in a place, to save somebody else. And I know they had all kind of comments, because one of the things that the lady in the call said when she said, well, move back. I'm going to have to break your window. And she said, no, don't break my window. And when she came out, I guess so many people were upset with the lady after she got her out, because she didn't immediately say thank you and thank you and thank you, because as you seeing this car float under after she got her out of the car, this could have been the lady's life. And, when people were saying about how the other lady reacted, I didn't want to mention anything, because here, this other lady still could have been in shock. She could not, she might have not still believed that this was her watching her car go down. We don't know what we would have done in that situation. We would have liked to have seen her thanking the lady unconditionally, for what she had done. But, she could have still been in shock. She could have not been, altogether there, because she just kept saying, I don't know why, I just thought. So she thought she was continuing on the road, and what we don't know is that when you're going under or overpass, it gets lower. The road is not straight anymore. And you're so right. When the lady got back, and she, you know, and she could hardly breathe, and she kept saying, "Why did you do that? Why did you keep driving? Why did you keep driving?" And calm down, she probably could not believe the act that she had did. But if you notice, when she threw that phone down and head to that water, she never thought. She never thought anything. She never thought about the danger she was putting herself into. She never thought about, you know, that the lady car was going to go under, that she could have gone under. She never thought about any of that. All she did was ran out there to help somebody. And I just thought it was so brave. I just thought, you know, that so many people that commented focused more on the negative, what they saw, than the positive of somebody risking their life to help another human being who she did not even know. So I thought that, you know, that was so remarkable. And, you know, and to piggyback on as far as, you know, like Facebook, Facebook can be very, very beneficial to a lot of us. And I mean, I take advantage of it in more positive ways. And you only have a handful that use it for negative purposes, because just like you said, that I've been able to locate people that I went to school with or that I grew up with or even somebody who babysitted me as being young. So there's so many different positive things that is there on Facebook and social media that we let the negative things overshadow them. But, you know, I just thought that that video of that lady, you know, not even thinking of what she was doing in the so many different other acts that's taking place during this time, badgering and, you know, giving more attention to the negative things and start looking at the positive things, there's much more positive than it is negative that that's taking place during this hurricane, that's taking place on social media. It's just how we react to those things, you know.
And Cassie, I know you are a very religious and God-fearing individual, but, you know, it is amazing if you watch that video that you see the lady the two women see her before she drives into this flooded area, and they're looking at her thinking, what, you know, hoping that she doesn't do it. And as soon as she does it, and she gets maybe halfway. And so is this one of those instances where the Holy Spirit just takes over and just enters somebody who is a godly person and have them do something that is extraordinary? If you would see there were literally ripples of water where the water was flowing so fast that this girl could have been swept off her feet and been down the river. And a good thing, Cheryl, that she was kind of a heavy woman, because had she been something small, she may not have been able to handle the current.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because she held her own in that. She could have actually just been blown away, you know, with that water, because we don't realize how the water, you know, has so much of force behind it. So that's one of the things that could have happened. But, you know, when you say about how the Holy Spirit, because it had to move in her. And that's why I called her angel, because sometimes God have us to do things that we would not normally even do if we thought about it. But see, she allowed the Holy Spirit to move her and to be able to do that act. And then she thought about it when she came back and sat down after it was all over with. But that's how he uses us. You know, he can use anybody in any kind of situation, but we have to also allow him to use us. Because if she had took time and thought, when he, you know, spoke to her, she could have not done it, but she never thought about it. She just was moved by his Holy Spirit that moved, led her to do that, what she did.
So, Kathy, are these the kind of things that we need to, stories we need to spread around it so people fully understand that God is still real and still powerful and is doing miracles each and every day?
Yeah, I think these stories should be replayed over and over again. And I did see that video, and I was at awe as well. And I don't look at that as a Holy Spirit thing. I look at that as you're in a situation. What are you going to do? Because I believe that in that situation, all those people in that situation, even looking at them right now, they have made like a chain where there are so many people that's holding hand in a chain. It's like a near-death experience. We have to do something. You know what I'm saying? We all have to come together regardless of what we believe, what color we are. I think they're in a near-death situation where they say we have to do something regardless. If I didn't talk to this person last week and we're facing this situation, we have to do it. Now, I do believe that the Holy Spirit is moving and he's showing himself to be who he is in this situation. But I just believe that in this particular situation, this woman, she just didn't think, because even the way how everything played out, you saw her go into the water. It was like it wasn't her going into the water. It was somebody else, because like you guys said, when she sat back down, it was like she came to herself, you know, like, I can't believe I just did this and this just happened. So now I can ask these questions. But at that time, it was like, I got to do something. You know how a couple of months ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, it was an incident where the police officer had fell unconscious and the guy, I think, jumped out of the window at the fast food place to stop the car from running into anything. And we talked about, you know, as humans, you know, we react when we see stuff. So that's like being a servant. Like, you react when you see something. You see a child in the street, you don't think, you just run to go and try to save the child. So I believe that this is these type of acts that's going on now. People are not even, it's not about them. It's about we are all one. It's like it's me, but it's not me out there. So I have to do what I have to do because I'm in this situation with these people. So, I mean, I'm just grateful to God. And as we continue to pray that God would send the people and that the people would continue to just act the way that they're acting. And I heard a man, he was like, come on, get in the water, get it. He was telling some other people, come on, get in the water. Like, they were hesitant at first to come and get in the water to help. But then after he said it a couple of times, they jumped in the water to go and help. But see, there are some people, you don't have to say anything. It's just automatic to where they want to do something or they're bodies just say, okay, I got to do it. It's not you don't think about it. It's just you have to do something about what's going on. And that's what I see.
Yeah, and, you know, just like you said, we talk about all kind of stories on this show. And a few months ago, we were talking about where is the humanity because we had 4 or 5 teenagers who watched a man drown and didn't go get any help for him. But now it's things like this that we see that we recognize that there are a lot of people out there who are out there ready and prepared to put their lives on the line in order to save other people. And that's what humanity is about. Humanity is about respecting life. We have to learn to respect life because once it's gone, there's no getting it back. There's nothing you can do. There's no... no words you can say when you and God tell us, Cheryl, there's no greater gift a man can do than to give his life for the life of another. And so That is the ultimate blessing, is to risk your own life, you risk your own existence to assist another person not to, to lose their life. And certainly that lady would not have gotten out of that car if that woman had not gone out into that water, because within minutes of them getting back to shore, that car was gone. I mean, it was up to the roof.
It was. I mean, I could just feel my heart when I saw, you know, what had happened. It was, you said, something that nobody would want to have been in. And just thanking God that, I mean, I was just, you know, I was thanking him the whole time that they were coming back. And I was just on, you know, pins and needles as I was watching the whole thing play out. So it's a, I mean, it was just something remarkable to see and to know that we are still doing good, because it's so easy to see otherwise. It is so easy to get caught up seeing just bad things. But I mean, it did my heart good to see that.
And the fact that she was a younger woman, too, I do believe, I would guess that she was under 30. But if she was older than 30, I don't believe she was much older than 30. And she just did what she had to do. And for that person who filmed it, it was just amazing that she did that, because now we truly get to see how a person can love another person that they don't even know, that they're willing to sacrifice the ultimate for somebody they don't even know. I mean, and that's what life is all about. It's not about whether or not you know me. It's about the fact that you know that my life is in jeopardy, Kathy, and that I need you to do something extraordinary in order to save me. Because had she been like those boys and said, well, you drove in there, that's your fault. she did not think like that until the very end.
Yeah, I don't even think
she thought
about it.
That the lady drove in there.
I don't even think she thought about it. And even as the lady was driving and they were walking, you could hear her, I mean, you hear her saying, I know that lady is not going into the water. And then she instantly gives all her stuff to the other lady that's with her. And she begins to go in there like she didn't hesitate, or she didn't say, oh, what am I going to do? No, she just reacted. And sometimes there are people like that that just react. Everybody doesn't do that, you know. But there are some people that just react in situations where they say, I have to do something. And again, we've talked about it over the years about people, extraordinary people that go out beyond themselves and do things like that. And if it had not been for that young lady, that lady would have been gone. And I just see the lady coming back holding on to her purse like, really, you're holding on to your purse, and this is your life right here. But the girl reasoned with her the whole time. She adjusted. This is so good, because the girl adjusted herself to make the lady comfortable, even taking her through the water, you know? if you think about it, because the lady had her purse, and she was like, oh, my purse. So the girl then adjusted herself. So all that time, it wasn't that girl. It was something else. Like you guys said, I believe the Holy Spirit was a part of that situation, because the way that girl did, where she adjusted herself, she went, she grabbed hold to the door, she tried to get her through the window. I mean, all of that, that wasn't her. That was somebody else. But then when she came back and sat down, she began to talk through what just happened, because she couldn't believe it. So that was amazing. That was awesome. That was God.
And I'm so glad that we all got a chance to see that, and we could feel it, because You cannot watch that without getting emotional. I mean, you have to get emotional when you see her saying, I got you, I got you. You know, just because I got you, I got you. And she had to keep saying that over and over again. And then when she finally gets her to the point where she goes, okay, stand up. you don't know. I tell you, I experienced nearly drowning and a man coming to get me. And I nearly drowned that man, because when you find yourself panicking, you just you grab people any way you can. And so he had to finally just, you know, get me to, hey, I got you. And I finally understood. So I can imagine what that lady was going through when she found herself in that water and didn't know what her fate was going to be. And the lady who was rescuing her had to kind of get her under control and say, I got you. You ain't going nowhere. I got you, you know. So, Cheryl, she really had to convince her that she was safe.
Yeah, she did. I mean, I know she probably, you know, just from what I can see from the other lady, she was still in a state of shock. I mean, you know, first of all, she can't even believe that she went into the water like that. And, you know, she just like, what was I thinking? I don't know. And when you say the shock, you don't know actually what you're doing. You know, different things come over you that you're not even, you're not even aware of. And that's why I think that I tried to say so many positive things in the comments on Facebook, because it was under my Facebook Live thing that I scrolled through. And, I mean, just one negative comment after another. And it was like, this is ridiculous. So I tried to, say nothing but positive things and not point out nothing, not even point out the fact that, you know, lay off the other lady. She might have been in a state of shock. You know, you don't know what you would have done. I didn't say none of that. I just focused on the fact that, you know, that God sent one of his angels there to do a job, you know, to help her. And, I mean, and she did it. She jumped right on it. She, you know, never thought about it. And, you know, when I saw that phone go down on the ground, you know, nobody don't slam their phone like that. I was thinking, there she go. And she definitely did. And you're right. She stayed calm, you know, just as if a person was on 911, you know, seeing you through the incident that you, a situation that you might have been in, that was so terrifying to you. And she kept so calm until actually she got back there and sat down and everything released out of her at that time. So, I mean, and, like I said, that was just remarkable.
And Kathy, when I look at it, when she was in the most danger was when she got to the car and that water was up to her shoulders and she was down, you know, I don't even know how she maintained her feet on the ground, you know, but this is something, she didn't train for this. She's not, you know, we haven't heard anything about her being a fighter, and she certainly didn't look like she was in the shape to be no fireman. So this was not something this woman trained for. This was something that happened, and she just threw caution to the wind, and she got out there in that deep water, and it's amazing she didn't panic herself.
Right. You're absolutely right. I mean, even listening at her friend, I don't know who the other young lady was, but she was talking to her as she was going, telling her to be careful. Okay, watch out, because it looked like the car is tilting. So she was talking to her as she was going, and then she was listening to some of the instructions, because she told her to roll the window, push the door, get away from, I mean, everything the person on the other side was telling her, she was listening and she was giving those directions to the lady in the car. So, I mean, that was amazing. That was amazing. And I know that there are so many amazing stories that we're going to hear over the rest of this year of things that happen in the rescues. But you know what? It just makes me know that our God is real. He's present, and he's showing himself in these situations that people need to just cut it out. I mean, just stop being so mean to one another and begin to love one another, because this right here is showing nothing but love. There is love in the atmosphere of Houston. I mean, and nobody can say anything but love is over Houston. And even with those, I heard that it was 11 people that were deceased that have died. But there is love in the midst of turmoil, you know, and that's what you have to see in this situation, that there's love being shown between man and woman and woman and woman, and with the dogs, they're going and rescuing the dogs and looking. I mean, you can look at the eyes of the kids and the children, and you can just feel the fear, but then feel the love as well. So this is a beautiful thing. I mean, it's a tragic, but there's a beautiful thing being shown all over the world. You cannot deny that.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation. Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left Him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshaies2.com. That's JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know this show, we talk about everything under the sun because all the different subjects require that we try to determine what direction we want to go and how we're going to fight related to what's going on in our society. Now, I have to tell you that as a host, I'm always being called to keep myself in check. And it's so nice to always have people who are in your corner who support you, to help you mend your ways. And I want to just go on record as saying I had to change that song because I know my sister was out there, Cassie, who was probably wondering, why is he playing that song when we were spending the first hour talking about God and His grace? So see, Kathy, sometimes I'm slow, but I catch on pretty good.
James, I love Mariah Carey just as much as you do. So it's okay, and it was appropriate. You know, her song is appropriate as well. It doesn't always have to be a gospel song. I mean, Sunday is the day that you designated for gospel music. So, but that's fine, too. But don't put me on blast like that, James. We talked about this, okay?
Well, Kathy, I just want you to know you my rock. In a hard place, and when you're not here, Cheryl is the substitute, because both of you are truly women who believe, and you know it's just important that things go on, that we are able to identify why we are believers. Despite the goodness that's going on in Houston, there is so much evil around that I have to believe that my Father is up there watching and paying attention, and I just need to put it in His hands, because he's gonna make it all right. You know what I'm saying? I saw someone sent me a note the other day, said, it doesn't matter who the president is, because Jesus is on the throne. And, sometimes we lose sight of that. When we see so much evil raising its head, we don't recognize that no matter how much it raises its head, there's truly one person in charge. And so when these things happen, Cheryl, we're able to reflect and recognize that we're going to be okay, because ultimately there's somebody who is going to make things all right.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. And, you know, sometimes, well, I know every time something happens, it happens for a reason. But we are to figure out what the reason is. And hopefully everyone will get something out of this, you know, this hurricane, this situation, wherever they are, and to be able to learn from it. You know, and a lot of times people, you know, God don't allow anything to happen without a reason. And we have to take and look, you know, back and examine and to see what it is that we get out of it. You know, the same thing with death. We, you know, don't let them die in vain. Don't let this happen for no reason at all where we don't get it. You know, don't let something else come about in our lives that we have to repeat it over and over. And it may not be a hurricane, but something to repeat itself over and over until we can get what it is that he's trying to tell us. But I can clearly see, you know, that so many people are coming together. And not only that, even what, you know, Kevin Hart is doing with raising money and calling out those ones with millions to come to step up to the table and to help out. And they're doing it. Joel Osteen got shamed to open up his church that where I was reading that he didn't that his church was closed during this time. He said that his streets were flooded, and somebody reported back to say that they investigated and didn't see. Well, I don't know nothing about it, but you know, I just thank God that now they have another place to be. For whatever reason, you know, it happened, and however it happened, there's another place for people without homes to be able to go and to be able to get things that they would not be able to get or to stay comfortably if they were out on the streets.
And, you know, it's and I heard that story as well, and I, you know, you have to take Osteen at his word. You don't know, but one of the things people need to know is those churches don't belong to man. And every church, if it can provide some kind of shelter or a place of refuge, ought to be open. You know, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever for any church in that area to be closed unless it is underwater and it's not a safe place for people to be. So not only should he be making his church available, and I did see videotape of him taking in food and preparing to have people come, but all the other churches in that area should be doing the exact same. Kathy, what is your thoughts on, you know, the religious community? The churches don't belong to them. When it is time to help people, the church should always be open if it is able to assist, don't you think?
Absolutely. But first of all, I think we, as believers, we have to sit back and pray. And we can't prejudge because we don't know what the situation is. If he's had a meeting or his people have came and had a meeting, not only with him but the other churches that are available to assist as well. We don't know the situation or what it's going to take. Like he said, we have to prepare for this. There has been water inside of the dome where they had to release that. Then once they got everything prepared, then they opened up their doors. We have to be careful about what we say because God is doing some things in these situations and in Houston. So we just have to do what God has purposed us to do, which is to pray, because we're not there to assist. We don't know what's going on. We can't really have a say-so because we're over on these other ends. but we have to pray because we don't know what God is doing, but we know that he is revealing himself on every avenue. Every time you turn around, there's another envelope being opened, and he's giving instructions on what it is he needs to happen in this situation. And as they go through this test, we are going through the test with them because we're praying, we're interceding, we're calling on God to stop the rain so that they can get some kind of leverage of sanity back to themselves. So, you know, we don't know what's going on, but we just have to be mindful. You know, like the young lady said, I'm sorry, I can't think of your name, about all the negative comments that were being written on the Facebook post about that situation. They didn't see the good, but they saw the bad because those people were there and they're going to do what they have been purposed to do. But we as believers, our first thing should be, how can we pray about this? Is there anything we need to do, you know, to help? Well, where do we, is this a good place to donate to? You know, that's what we should be doing.
And you're certainly right. We should be looking to intercede and make sure that them people have more than enough to get them back to where they need to be. Because it's going to take a long time to get them back to where they were comfortable. And their country, their area has been devastated, and we should just look to make them whole again. We're going to take our final break for this evening, and then we'll come back and have our final word.
Your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road and teach them to love one another that heaven might find a place their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know he we've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love, and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love. For favor, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. I've got to see in the ground that He's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground, now I'm knowing. And it's showing my faithful grace for favor. It only works when we all do it.
To take my place.
To do what?
To be what I have sown.
Come on, you say. This is my season for grace. For what else?
For favor.
This is my season to reap what I have sown. Everything is working together for my good. Hey, church, everything is working. Don't feel good, but it's working
for my good.
Say it again, y'all. Everything is working. Say this tonight, real simple, say it.
The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And as always, we talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. Cheryl, what is your final thoughts for this evening?
As I always say, this is a very good platform, very good topic that we shared with each other today. I really appreciate you, because you bring awareness to us of things that we may not have been aware of, but help us to stretch a little bit more in the areas that we are needed in. How I would end this is, like I always do, whatever we do, we can do more. And in this situation, it's nothing, not other, like no other one, we can still do more.
All right, thank you, Cheryl. And thank you for your continued support. Cassie, your final thoughts for this evening?
Just that song you just played was very appropriate for this season and time, what's going on. That was an excellent song choice. And you have a great day today, James. Thank you for everything that you do. And may God continue to bless your hands as you go forth. Amen.
I have to tell you guys over and over again, you know, I'm an only child, and I've lost both my parents, and my refuge is my radio show, where you all bring me so much joy and connection with people who are outside of myself that allow us the opportunity to come and talk about things and create a joy within my spirit. And I hope that we are just on one accord, and I know that we're missing a few people today. But just know that it is does my heart so much good when I'm able to come here and be a part of this family, where we're going to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where we talk about the things that impact our lives today and in the future. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Just can't do.